book of Hebrews, and our text this morning is Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 to 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 to 12. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to be cursed, and its end is to be burned. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We began the study of this portion of scripture in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. And Hebrews 5 verse 11 says, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So the writer of the book of Hebrews was about to begin his explanation of the heavenly priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not sure whether his readers are ready for what he has to teach. The problem is that they had become dull hearers. You have become dull of hearing, he says. So we see in this section how the writer deals with three topics that relate to spiritual growth. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, right up to chapter 6 verse 20, he deals with three topics that are related to spiritual growth. Number one, the signs of spiritual childishness. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 11 to 14. Number two, the appeal to spiritual maturity. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 12. And number three, the foundation for spiritual security. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 13 to 20. Now we also said that we need to keep in mind that the emphasis in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 right up to chapter 6 verse 20 is on making spiritual progress. If we keep that emphasis in mind, then we can move safely through this passage without misinterpretations. We have looked into, number one, the signs of spiritual childishness. And then we began looking at the appeal to spiritual maturity. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 12. And in this portion, Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 12, we saw, number one, the call to spiritual growth in verses 1 to 3. And we also saw how this spiritual growth does not affect salvation. That this growth does not affect salvation. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 4 to 6. Our salvation is a gift from God. We are eternally secure in Christ because God has put us in Christ. And our salvation, the onus of our salvation is because of the finished work that Jesus did for us on the cross. So this growth does not affect our salvation. Now we will look at how this spiritual progress results in fruitfulness. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 7 to 10. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. Here you find an illustration of a farmer's field. And this reminds us of the parable of the sower and the seed. Remember, the parable that Jesus spoke, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 verses 3 to 9, I read to you. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the interpretation of that parable is given in Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23. The Lord Jesus himself interprets that parable. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So this passage in Hebrews chapter 6 verses 7 to 10 also reminds us of Paul's teaching about the fire that tests our work, the fire testing our works. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 6 to 15. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it. The day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, a field proves its worth by bearing fruit. In the same way, a true believer, as he makes spiritual progress, bears fruit for God's glory. Note here, the thorns and thistles are burned, not the field. Hebrews 6 verse 8, but if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. God does not curse his own. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. The crop of God's blessing is pictured in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. It is called things that accompany salvation, or things that belong to salvation. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 9. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. Things that belong to salvation. So the crop of God's blessing is pictured. The things that belong to salvation. Not everyone bears the same amount of fruit. Some bear 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Matthew 13, 23. Some bear 100-fold, some 60, some 30. But every believer bears the same kind of fruit as proof that he or she is a child of God. Things that belong to salvation. Fruit. Matthew chapter 7 verse 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So this fruit of Christian character, this fruit is actually fruit of Christian character and conduct. And it's described in Galatians 5 verses 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So this fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit. As we mature in Christ, as we progress in our Christian life, remember the pilgrim is supposed to progress. So this fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit as we progress, as we mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the writer speaks about some of the fruit that he knew had been produced in their lives. He notices that and he tells them in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do." So these believers that he's writing to, they're already manifested some fruit. And he says, you have shown that fruit. We see that fruit. "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do." Because of their love, they had worked and labored for the Lord. They had ministered to other fellow believers and they were still ministering. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 3 to 10, you have a beautiful description of how they served the fellow believers. How the Macedonian church actually served the fellow believers in Jerusalem. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 3 to 10. "Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." The risen Christ commends the church in Ephesus. He commends the church. The risen Lord commends the church in Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 2 he says, "I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false." So these are some of the things that accompany salvation, fruit. And fruit is the test of true salvation. Matthew chapter 7 verse 16. "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" Now the question is, what does this fruit include? Number one, the fruit includes holiness. Romans 6 verse 22. I read from the King James Version now. Romans 6 verse 22. "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." So number one, this fruit includes holiness. B, number two, the fruit includes Christian character. Christian character. Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23, which we already read. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Then the fruit includes good works and increasing in the knowledge of God. So important to realize that our good works are the things that we do after having known Christ. We're not saved by our good works. We are saved because of grace through faith in the person of Jesus. But we are saved to do good works. So the fruit includes good works and also increasing in the knowledge of God, Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, this knowledge of God is not an intellectual knowledge, not a textbook knowledge of the Bible. No, this knowledge of God is experiential. This knowledge of God comes from a deeper understanding of the Word of God, insight into God's Word, understanding of God's Word. And this is not human earthly wisdom, but wisdom that comes from God. This wisdom from God is because we are united to Christ. God the Father has put you and me in Jesus. And because of that, we receive wisdom from God. We had no wisdom, but God gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding. He gives us, He leads us, He instructs us from His Word. And we can receive from Him and obey Him. We can apply the truth into our lives. And this wisdom from God is because of our union with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. And because of Him, you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So the more we recognize what it means to be in Christ, the more this wisdom is manifested. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. That means we can live the life that God wants us to live on earth because we are already with Christ in heaven. We are right now with Him. He lives in us, and we have been raised up and seated with Him in the heavenly places. And because our position right now is in heaven, our address right now is in heaven. Our temporary address is here on earth. Our permanent address is in heaven. And because we are already in heaven, we can live heaven on earth. We can live out this heavenly life on earth because we are in Christ, because our God, the Father, has put us in Christ. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. James chapter 3 verses 17 to 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Number 4. The fruit includes winning others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Winning others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1 verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. That was Paul's desire to go to Rome, to reap some harvest among you. So this fruit includes winning others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 5, the fruit includes sharing what we have, like the Macedonian church, which we read about earlier. This is what the Macedonian church did for the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. Romans chapter 15 verses 25 to 28. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. By the way, these believers in Macedonia and Achaia were mainly Gentile believers. And they had heard the gospel because of the Jewish believers from the church in Jerusalem. The mother church had sent out apostles, and they were the ones who presented the gospel, and there was this harvest, and these Gentiles had come to Christ. And so now what were they doing? They were blessing the Jerusalem church with what they had materially. Romans 15, 25 to 28, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this, and I have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. Number 6. The fruit includes worship and praise to God. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15. Through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So we'll come to this aspect of fruit, the fruit of worship, in more detail a little later. Now, the writer to the Hebrews was concerned that his readers were just resting on their achievements. They were not moving forward. They are not pressing on to full maturity. They were not moving on to the enjoyment of God's rich inheritance. So he tells them, the fourth point here, he tells them, this spiritual progress demands diligent effort. This spiritual progress demands diligent effort. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 11 to 12. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It is true that it is God who carries us along to maturity. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been implanted in him by God the Father. And it is he who carries us along to maturity. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. He's the one who carries us on to maturity. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Hebrews 6 verse 3 also says, Hebrews 6 verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. So it is God who carries us on to maturity. Yes, it is God who initiates and carries us along to maturity, but we need to cooperate with God. We need to yield to his working in us. We need to do so diligently. The believer must do his or her part. Remember, I told you the Lord wakes me up early in the morning. When he wakes me up, what must I do when he wakes me up? I must get up. You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord desires to carry us into maturity. But we must cooperate with him. We must not be lazy. The Greek word translated slothful or sluggish here in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, it is the same word translated as dull. Remember Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11? Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, this is where the writer started teaching about spiritual progress, because he found that they were dull of hearing. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So you become slothful, you become sluggish, lazy. There is a lack of earnest diligence in the lives of many believers today. A diligence in spending time personally with God, in the worship of him and the study of his word and prayer. Now this often is because these spiritual disciplines seem to be taken as chores rather than a response of love to God. The Lord rebuked the church in Ephesus. Remember, a little earlier we read about the good things that Jesus had to say about the church. The risen Christ commended the church in Ephesus. He said many good things about them. But he rebuked them. Why did he rebuke them? Because they were doing many good things, but their good works had been just works and not being done out of love for the Lord. Revelation chapter 2 verses 1 to 5. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You see, we can be even involved in God's work. We can be involved in the ministry, so to speak, and yet fail to serve the Lord Jesus Christ out of love for him. Listen, God is not primarily concerned about our doing. He is primarily concerned about our being. When what we do for him becomes a chore, then we are in the same danger of the Ephesian church that had lost its first love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
We must apply ourselves diligently to the spiritual resources God has given us. We have the promises from God's word. We should exercise faith and patience and claim these promises. Put your trust in these promises. In the sense, claim is not the right word, as Brother Raj says. We put our trust in these promises. You only claim what you have lost. We put our trust, or we put our whole weight on the promises for ourselves, on the promises of God. We put our whole weight on the truth. Like Caleb and Joshua, we must believe God's promise and want to go in and claim the land. But all of this must be a love response. It must be a love response. The illustration of the farm in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 7 to 8 and the admonition to be diligent, that also reminds us of Solomon's warning. Remember in Proverbs chapter 24 verses 30 to 34, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and his stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. You know, this verse reminds me, when I get up in the morning, verse 33 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then what happens? 4 o'clock will become 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock will become even 8 o'clock, sometimes even 10 o'clock. And then I get up at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And then if I try to read the word of God, what happens? The manna is gone. Verse 34 says, and poverty will come upon you like a robber. Spiritual poverty is also speaking of, I believe this verse applies also to spiritual poverty. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. You see, this is why many believers today are living in spiritual poverty. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Good farmers are very diligent in their work. They work very hard in their fields. They have no coronavirus problem. They work very hard. We too must love the work we do. But that love must never be at the cost of loving the Savior. That love must never be at the cost of loving the Savior. This was the difference between Martha and Mary. Luke chapter 10 verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary's devotion to her Lord and Master was what was most important. And Jesus says to Martha in verse 42, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You see, worship is at the heart of all that we are and all that we do in the Christian life. Yes, it is important that we must be busy ambassadors for Christ. Yes, taking the message of the gospel to lost souls. Yes, it is also very essential that we be merciful Samaritans to those who are in need, seeking to help the exploited and hurting people who need God's mercy. But before we can represent Christ as we should to those around us, or imitate Christ in our caring ministry, before we do all that, we must spend time with Him and learn from Him. We must take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Mary of Bethany is seen three times in the gospel. Three times in the gospel record you will find Mary of Bethany. But on each occasion you find she is in the same place. Where is she? She is at the feet of Jesus. You see, she sat at his feet and listened to his word. Luke 10:39, we just read Luke 10:39. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Then you find she fell at his feet and shared her anguish.
regarding the death of her brother Lazarus in John chapter 11. We read in John 11 verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She then came to his feet, and then what did she do? She poured out her worship. In John chapter 12 verse 3 we read, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Mary and Martha are often contrasted as though each believer must make a choice. You either be a worker like Martha or a worshipper like Mary. Yes, it is true that our personalities and gifts are different, but the Christian life is not an either or situation. That's why Charles Wesley put it so beautifully in one of his hymns. Faithful to my Lord's commands, faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part. Serve with careful Martha's hands and loving Mary's heart. Serve with careful Martha's hands and loving Mary's heart. It is very evident that Jesus wants each of us to imitate Mary in our worship and Martha in our work. And blessed are the balanced. Consider Martha's situation. She received Jesus into her home, and then what happened? Then she neglected him as she was preparing an elaborate meal. Did he really need that meal? Certainly a meal was needed, but not this elaborate meal. What we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. Don't forget that. What we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. Again, it is not an either or situation. It is a matter of balance. Mary had done her share of the work in the kitchen, and then she left Martha and had gone to feed on the teachings of Jesus. Martha felt neglected after Mary left the kitchen. Then she began to complain that Mary did not care. And she even complained that the Lord Jesus did not care. She had the audacity to say that. Luke chapter 10 verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, you do not care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her then to help me. Trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ is very damaging. Very damaging. John chapter 15 verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Mary chose the better part. The part that could not be taken from her. She knew that she could not live by bread alone. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. Matthew 4 verse 4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Whenever we criticize others and pity ourselves because we feel overworked, we better take time to examine our lives. Maybe all our busyness, in all our busyness, we have been ignoring the Lord. Martha's problem was not that she had too much work to do. Martha allowed her work to distract her and pull her apart. She was trying to serve two masters. If serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, then something is terribly wrong with our service. I repeat, if serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, then something is terribly wrong with our service. The key is to have the right priorities. Jesus Christ first. Then others, then ourselves. It is vitally important that we spend time at the feet of Jesus every single day, letting him share his word with us. The most important part of the Christian life is the part that only God sees. That is the most important part of the Christian life. Unless we meet Christ personally and privately each day, we will soon end up like Martha, busy but not blessed. Many believers today are very busy but not blessed.
Often during Christian counseling sessions, the counselor will ask the counselor, the one who is being counseled, the counselor will ask the one who is being counseled, what about your devotional life? And the usual response from the one being counseled is an embarrassed look, a bowed head, a quiet confession. I stopped reading my Bible and praying some time ago, or a long time ago I stopped. That is the heart of the problem. By the way, this problem is very much found to be real even for veterans in the ministry. Did Martha learn her lesson? According to John chapter 12 verses 1 to 2, I believe Martha certainly did learn her lesson. She prepared a feast for Jesus. And the 12 disciples also were there. And her brother and sister. That means 15 people. And she did not utter a single word of complaint. John 12 verses 1 and 2. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Martha had God's peace in her heart because she had learned to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's what you and I need to do. We are ambassadors of Christ, yes. 2020 has gone by. We're looking forward to 2021. We desire that there will be a great revival in this nation. And that is so important. We must desire that. We must cry out to God for that revival. And we must be involved in the work that God has entrusted us to do. And we must do it diligently like the farmer, hardworking farmer. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are neighbors to those in need. And we are worshipers. But the greatest of these, I believe, is worshipers. Because out of the heart of worship comes true service. And if you try to serve God without knowing Him intimately and worshiping Him, loving Him, and then we go on to serving Him without worship, without loving Him, without expressing our love to Him in worship, what happens? It's very damaging. It's very damaging. All of this worship is because of our love for Him. He gave Himself for us. Remember who He is. He is the God of glory, the one who put those billions of galaxies into space. He is the one who came into this world and confined Himself to the womb of a virgin. And He was born into this world in human flesh, taking upon Himself a human body. Who is this? The eternal Son of God, the Prince of Peace. Why did He come? He came to seek and save you and me, who were eternally lost. And to us He gave the gift of eternal life. How did He do that? By being nailed on the cross. He shed His blood and He gave us His very life so that you and I could have life. He rose again from the dead, including me, including you, in His death and His burial and His resurrection and His ascension and His exaltation, raising us up and seating us with Him. God the Father has put you and me in Christ Jesus. He alone is worthy of all praise, worship, all glory and all honor. He loved us with a love which is undying. The hymn writer says, loved with everlasting love. Loved with everlasting love. Filled by grace this love to know. Spirit breathing from above. Thou hast taught me it is so. God in His mercy has revealed this truth to us. And we therefore worship Him. We love Him. And that love and worship results in devoted diligence. And what is the result? The result is blessed fruit. And let's look at Proverbs chapter 24 verses 30 to 34. Those verses I'll read again. Proverbs 24 verses 30 to 34. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Let us meditate on these words and take heed to these words. Amen. God bless you.